All right, we are at Scarefest with the guys and lady from Adventure Myths. We have Frank
Palevka.
Is that it?
Yeah, I've had it for a long time now.
You just added that for context, right?
That's it, pretty much.
Dusty Cassidy, who never gets to come to these things anymore, right? Maybe you should kick Frank out. You should come more often. Jonathan Ness, and of course, the last is best, is Victoria Ricken. So, guys, we've interviewed you in the past, and that was almost a year ago. Since then, you guys have kept a pretty torrid pace. Frank, give me an idea of what it's been like the last year for you guys.
Well, since we left you guys in Coachtown Elementary School back in February of this year. From there, we came back. We had to get ourselves together for the convention up in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Phenomenology 104. Fantastic convention. Had a great time there. We introduced the new booth that we're leaning on right now that Jonathan fabricated. We get a whole bunch of signatures from Paris celebrities from different conventions, and it's just been a real hit. And from there, we gathered all our stuff together and headed out west to the Stanley Hotel.
So when you guys did the Stanley, you over the last couple years now, you guys have been doing videos and commercials and YouTube stuff and things like that, but this is a pretty big project compared to the standard stuff that you guys have been doing up until that point, right?
Yeah, two reasons. One is the name. We're talking about the Stanley Hotel. And we've done some cool places overseas as well as here, but nothing I think is well known as the Stanley Hotel. To fly out there in 4 days and film over 60 hours of footage, and then come back and get it all edited, condensed down into an hour documentary, ready for Scarefest was a difficult task to do, but I think working the way we did and getting things done and filming it right the first time, we got it all knocked out. We actually showed a screening here today at Scarefest, and we had standing room only in the room, and I don't have a clue to guesstimate how many people were in the room, but I know it was over at least 75 folks were in there, so it was packed inside.
Jonathan, so you've been a part of this team, I think, since the inception, right?
Yep.
And you've been doing a lot of editing, you do some shooting and filming. We all know that everybody in this field has a second career, and you have that too. So how has something like the Stanley changed, your mentality about filmmaking and, long-term career outlooks about what you do now compared to what you might want to do in the future?
It's definitely shown me that I enjoy the filming aspect a lot more than the editing. Because, while it was grueling for 5 days, filming for 12, 15 hours constantly, that lasted 5 days. But the editing, Frank was working on that for months and months. His weekends, his nights, late nights, getting up early to go to work, and then working all weekend from early morning to late night. I enjoy the editing, but I also enjoy not having the frustration that goes with it, because it's a lot of work.
Right. So as you guys were out there, what comes first? You guys get out there and start going into mode of, okay, we just get our gears, get set up, and start looking at screenshots, how we want to lay out our shots. And I know that Frank's trying to think of that stuff months before he even walks into a place, but when you guys get there and you see this place for the first time in person, and you're just, are you more like, cool, let's just go look at this place, or are you still already in Adventure Myths, let's figure out our shot mode?
Yeah, actually the first thing we did, and this was before we even went out there, we had people, we went through a selection process of who we were going to interview for their personal experiences. And I think we had about 10 people, and we had to whittle that down to a list of about 4 or 5 people. And we actually had them do short videos of themselves sharing their experience, so that way we can get an idea of, how their story would play out on film, so we can get an idea. And we went out there knowing what we needed to film for B-roll for their stories before we even got out there. So that helped a lot, saved us a lot of headache. Then, of course, once we got there, the tour of the place was the first, and we started, as we were touring, we were scouting. Oh, this will be a good location for an interview. This will be a good location for an interview. Lighting's good here. Lighting's bad here. So all that stuff that you got to take into consideration is a lot of work.
Victoria, when you guys got out there and you started picking out rooms to sleep in and things like that, were you guys fighting for the most famously haunted rooms, or were you guys looking at, I don't want the haunted rooms, so I want to be able to get some sleep? How'd you guys pick the rooms out?
Well, we were fortunate enough, they basically set it up so that we each got to take a turn and rotate in each of the big rooms. So we each got a chance to stay in a rotation in all of the good rooms. And, I mean, that's what we were there for. So we had to make sure that we stayed in all the haunted rooms.
All right, one of the things that kind of becomes lost for you guys is that even though you're filmmakers and this is what you like doing, you guys also have the interest as investigators in this field. And how hard or easy was it to separate, oh, I want to investigate and check that out versus I need to film that or catch that, just that perfect shot? I mean, what came first?
It kind of goes hand in hand with us because we really do think of both of them simultaneously. I mean, the filmmaking part is the hard part, the hard work and everything, but we're always doing kind of both at the same time. We're thinking, okay, this is going to be a great spot to set this shot up, and while we're doing that, we're going to investigate from this side, and it's kind of all happening all at the same time.
Dusty, did you even get a chance to go out with these guys to the Stanley?
Well, I did a lot of the downloading on the computers and most of the equipment work that had to be done as far as setting up for the investigations. So I had my time tied up pretty much in that while they were doing their shots outside. I was doing things inside trying to get it set up so when we went in to investigate, everything was ready to go. All we had to do was set it where we needed to set it and start our sessions.
So you're the guy on the team that does all the real work, where everybody else just looks pretty, right?
Okay. No, I'm just a gadget guru, that's all. I just set up all the cool gadgets. So there
are times where a lot of these different Paracons and whatnot, for various reasons, you don't get to go. But as you've come to these events and you're here at Scarefest and other places that you've gone with these guys, is there anything really that stands out for you that, man, that was a great experience, whether it was on a location or at one of these events?
Everything we go to, I've found it. Everything's different, and everything's been fascinating to me. I mean, I've been doing it for over 20 years, so, and then when I hooked up with them back in 2009, I've just enjoyed every minute of it. Every place we go into, we found something, regardless of where it was. If we were just there for fun, we would find something.
So Frank's not that bad to work for?
Absolutely not. None of them are. It's a great group. We have a blast together.
Is there an ultimate investigation, a dream investigation that, you know, you haven't quite gotten there, but that's like, oh, please let us get that chance?
Frank knows which one that is for me, and it was the Stanley Hotel.
Stanley?
Yes.
What about the rest of you? Is that?
Yeah. Mine's the White House. I'm still trying.
No, I want to go on that one, yeah. I want to see the secret bunker.
Me too.
What about you, Tom?
I still want to go to Transylvania, do Vlad the Impaler's castle.
I'm so new to it. There are so many that I really can't even list. I would like to get over to Europe and do a lot of those buildings, but the White House is an awesome dream that we would love to do too. So I'm down for all of them.
We think that there's quite a few ghosts up here at the White House. A lot of ghosts of good intentions, maybe, but you know. And I did not have volume. We wouldn't get that part. So. Scarefest, a big event for you guys. Yeah. You've got one more thing coming up, I guess, in 2012. And then you're taking a break, right?
We do, and I'm going to jump back a little bit after the Stanley. During the editing process, we went out to the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum and on a private ghost hunt. We were invited by Three Paranormal and had a great time out there. Filmed a promo for Jeff Wickedbeard Cochran, who's here at Scarefest with all of his suits and things that he's made. And we were playing it on YouTube, on our site, Facebook, and the owners of Trans-Allegheny saw it and contacted us and said, hey, would you guys be interested in coming out and doing our 2012 Delirium commercial? And we did. We worked on that in between editing for the Stanley, squeezed in doing the commercial for Trans-Allegheny, which is only 30 seconds, but we filmed it on July 7th, the hottest day of the year, in the tuberculosis ward, and it was grueling, miserable, but so much fun at the same time. Put it together, it's now being aired on television on Suddenlink and Comcast in the regional area for Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and out here in Kentucky. So we've got a couple more commercials lined up to do with Trans-Allegheny next year. I wanted to throw that in there because right now their haunted house is open. It's fantastic. You know, Google Delirium, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. They're on Facebook and check them out. But yeah, that leads us to Scarefest, where we debuted the documentary for the Stanley Hotel. And we've got our big event in October where we're going to have a full screening of the documentary in our hometown of Waldorf, Maryland. We'll reach out to the community and bring a little bit of part of the Western Ghost Hemisphere over to the East Coast and let them get a good look at it and what it's all about.
What's up? So you guys have done a lot now with smaller YouTube stuff, mini documentaries, now some full-blown stuff, commercials that are obviously being commercially aired and not just for fun on the internet.
Correct.
So your roots are more kind of the individual focus, helping smaller organizations get some notoriety, things like that. What's next for you guys in 2013 and beyond?
I think we really enjoyed the commercial aspect, and because we can take a storyboard, as long as we want it to be, but we can condense it down into a 30-second humdinger of a commercial, whether it be a horror-related commercial, what have you. So it's filmmaking, it's just a different style, and it's interesting to us. So we'll probably do a little bit of more of that in 2013. Do have some other things in the works right now for 2013, but until we get some confirmations on that, that'll just kind of lay right here on this desk. So,
you know, there's always been that opportunity that every time somebody comes up to an Adventure Myths booth, whether it's the new bar, which I personally partake.
But
Christened. Yes, I tried. You know, with you guys, the accessibility is key. You know, a lot of filmmakers have maybe an air about them that the approachability is not so obvious, but you guys are hanging out at after parties and sometimes creating the after party, or in Vicky's case, she is the after party. What is it for you guys that, you know, that makes it so much fun? I mean, you have other jobs, so this is fun to you, but you know, it may be a long-term career down the road for you. It may be a big business, whatever it happens to be, but is that accessibility going to stay the same?
Always. If we're not approachable, then why do this? Why go out to these great places if you can't share it with folks that can't get out there? If you can't get out there, then come out and talk to us. You know, we'll yell at you to come into our booth and so we can tell you about what we're doing, but I think that's the key, is being approachable to people and remaining, knowing that, you know, we're at the same level. We just, like, this is a hobby for us. We love to do it. We love to have fun doing it. We've gotten, I'd say, and I'm not going to toot a horn, we've gotten pretty good at what we do. And I'd like to set a standard in this paranormal industry. It's no longer a community or a field in my eyes. It's now an industry. I want to set a standard of what we do with preserving historic preservation, as well as we still have fun, but you know, we keep things professional, and yeah, so we're going to continue to stay approachable.
You know, other things have come up, you know, even at this event. We know that other groups have, you know, hey man, there's Adventure Myths, and they've contacted you and started to make some initial contacts. You know, is that surprise? You know, off air you had indicated that was a little bit of a surprise. Hey, so and so knew about us, but you know, your success is still surprising you. Is there a reason why? I mean, you just didn't think you're that well known yet?
I think because we keep things low key. We're level-headed. You know, we can still get in our car without banging our ears on the side of the frame. You know, and we try to stay just as fun and approachable. I will put this out there, though. I think people need to slow down a little bit. Don't put the cart in front of the horse and build your foundation, a solid foundation that you can go out and build on. And who are you? Let me tell you who we are. We started in 2007, and this is what we do. This is where we are now. I see a lot of groups coming out, and they're basically, you know, presenting themselves as if they're already out there. They've already done all these things, and there's no foundation. You're not going to make it. You got to have something. You got to have content. So, you know, if you're listening, take it to heart. I mean it in a good way, but take it to heart.
You guys definitely have a great reputation, because everyone we talk to just says, oh, we love those guys. I mean, they're just great to hang around with and listen to, you know.
We pay a lot of people in the community. A lot of people.
So, costs a lot of money.
I know that Vicky is a karaoke queen.
Oh,
and I have personal video of you guys as great backup singers.
I want to see that.
I don't know if we want to see that or not. I'd like to edit it.
Yeah,
I'd love to edit it.
Something watchable.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the part that's fun, is that we can come out and, you know, act stupid and have some fun with you guys and talk to you about the serious stuff.
Yes.
And you know, you guys all have serious jobs outside of this stuff, families, girlfriends, friends, whatever it is. And and it's tough, man. You guys talking about spending 80 hours a week doing something on a 165-hour work week. You know, if you're spending 80 doing one thing, that's pretty tough. So
it's a passion. You know, if you don't love what you do, don't do it. Because it's going to show. You know, we love what we do.
Well, this has been Inside the Paranormal, speaking with Adventure Myths. These guys have been at Scarefest this year. They're here all the time. They're everywhere now, so you can't get away from them. And if you go out to an event and you don't see Adventure Myths, then you must not be at a big event. That is so bad to say, but that's all right. And the tagline that we came up with Adventure Myths at Scarefest was, guess what, we're here and you're not. So why not? Come out and see Adventure Myths. This has been Dave and Therese with Inside the Paranormal Radio.